War Torture Awareness Week at the end of June. You can look at NEARCAT, National Witches Campaign Against Torture, as well, to learn more about that. And our basic message is that we need to let these men go home.
Good. Thank you so much, Josie Setzler from Witness Against Torture calling. I want to thank all of you who called in. I really appreciate it. And now we're going to go and let you have Teresa Mitchell will be on next with Press Watch.
Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up.
Most people think great God will come from the sky.
KABU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Oddville, a new vaudevillian tradition, March 13th at 7 p.m. at the Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven in Portland. Oddville, a new vaudevillian tradition, is a brand new variety show style monthly night, taking cues from vaudevillian traditions and narrative comedy. Each month's showcase features a different lineup of performers, bringing together a wide range of artistic disciplines and focusing on polished short pieces from our thriving clown, circus, vaudevillian, and alternative performance communities right here in Portland. Again, that's Oddville, March 13th at 7 p.m. at the Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven, 1464 Southeast 2nd Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know, giving you the tools to destroy billionaire rule. $504 to $340. That's the actual pledged delegate total advantage that Clinton has over Sanders everywhere in the corporate-owned and corporate-dependent press. You will hear that Clinton has a 1,052 to 427 lead over Sanders in the headlines everywhere. So it's over, Sanders. Get over it, Sanders people. It's over. Forget about it. But those numbers are... That 1,052 to 427 lead is with the anti-democratic Democratic superdelegates included into the mix. 2,383 delegates are needed for nomination. 3,286 are available. Two-thirds of the states have yet to vote, and Sanders is gaining ground rapidly. So when you hear that it's just the math, get over it. Well, there are funny ways of doing math. It may well be that Sanders will end up with more pledged delegates than Clinton at the convention. When I say pledged delegates in this context, I mean people who voted in the primary. And I bring you this information not to support Sanders because I have problems. He's, you know, the less enthusiastic imperialist, but that still makes him an imperialist. He says he's socialist, but really he's for... socialistic reforms of capitalism. I will admit that I'm very excited that anyone even comes up and talks about socialism. It's terrific. And I'm really glad that enough people in the country listen openly to that, that he has a chance. But you're not supposed to think or know that Sanders has a chance or that, and I think this is the real crux of the matter, that people might be interested in socialistic reforms. We have socialism. We have wonderful, rich socialism for the super rich. For example, the banks. When the banks screwed up horribly, they were bailed out now, weren't they? In a really, really huge way. And not just with that 700-something billion that you keep hearing about. Oh, no. It ran to the trillions. And, well, you're not supposed to think about that, are you? And Clinton is the establishment favorite by far. Obviously, the Democratic Party establishment really wants Clinton in. And the press have really followed suit. So Sanders still may win the popular vote in the primaries. So this brings up the question, why is that party called Democratic? Shouldn't it be called the Oligarchic Party? I mean, that's all I'm saying here. Fearing that the people would impose a living wage on Oregon, the governor, Kate Brown, has just signed a bill that will take 6 years to raise the minimum wage. Sadly, for the rest of America, this makes Oregon's minimum wage the highest in the nation. Meanwhile, the fight for $15 per hour goes on in view of the fact that workers need living wages now. The Oregonian is so furious that they created a click-through slideshow just to sneer at the poor, pointing out how much beer and football tickets could be purchased with the increased wage if it were implemented today instead of in 2022. And it ain't going to be implemented today. It's just 50 cents in June. That's what Kate Brown has signed. In case you thought it was a living wage coming your way anytime soon, no, 50 cents. Hey, Oregonian, do you think maybe that wage might go to basic necessities like housing, clothing, food? Or do you already miss the charming sight of kids living in their cars with their parents? This is Press Watch. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. From The Guardian in Britain, a Texas trooper indicted over his arrest of a black woman who was later found dead in jail has been formally fired 3 months after his bosses first announced that they would do so. That's according to Texas officials. Yesterday, Brian Encinia can still appeal the decision to fire him, which came after a grand jury indicted him on a perjury charge in December. He was accused of lying about his July 2015 arrest of Sandra Bland and about their confrontational traffic stop that was caught on dash cam video. Whoops. Encinia met last month with Department of Public Safety Director Steve McCraw, but their conversation gave the agency leader no reason, quote, to alter my preliminary decision, end quote. According to a termination letter signed by Encinia on Wednesday, Encinia's attorney did not immediately return a phone message to The Guardian. He has previously called the indictment unjustified and said his client was looking out for his own safety because she was just terrifying. She refused to immediately submit. That's me talking. And The Guardian writes that Bland's family sued after the 28-year-old black woman died last summer in jail following her arrest on the outskirts of Houston. Her death was ruled a suicide. The case provoked national outrage and drew the attention of Black Lives Matter movement, with protesters linking Bland to other black suspects who died in confrontations with police or while in police custody. Encinia had been on paid desk duty, The Guardian writes, since Bland's arrest and remained on the payroll after McCraw announced in December that the agency would begin the process of firing him. So speaking for myself again, he's been paid all this time. And that was the arrest in which Encinia said that Bland was combative in a dash cam video, that it was Encinia that was combative and uncooperative. From the Huffington Post, national political reporter Christina Wilkie, James Edwards, a notorious white supremacist and radio talk show host, is promoting a recent interview with the son of a Republican presidential frontrunner, Donald Trump, that will air on Saturday. Edwards talked to the real estate mogul's eldest son and campaign surrogate, Donald Trump Jr., last Saturday for his pro-white radio show, The Political Cesspool, have included neo-Nazis, Holocaust deniers, and Ku Klux Klan leaders. Edwards heralded the 20-minute interview in a blog post flagged by Little Green Footballs that boasted about his access inside a Trump rally in Memphis, Tennessee last Saturday, where Edwards was broadcasting his show live. He said Trump's campaign gave Edwards and his co-host full press credentials and VIP parking near the event. Edwards said at the start of his three-hour broadcast from the press area of the Memphis Trump rally, quote, "We're watching history in the making. Donald Trump will be the first Republican nominee that I have ever voted for," end quote. Edwards said that he and his co-hosts have attended three different Trump rallies in recent months, Illinois, Arkansas, and Memphis, with the press credentials from Trump. The white supremacists feel every bit as legit, he said, as members of the traditional media. A spokeswoman for the Trump campaign did not respond to questions late Tuesday about how Edwards was credentialed or why Donald Trump Jr. gave an interview to a white supremacist talk show. Education activists cheered earlier this week as Darnell Early officially stepped down from his position as emergency manager of Detroit Public Schools. His departure came after thousands of teachers staged rolling sick-outs to protest his role as the unelected head of the school system. Strikes by teachers and other municipal employees are illegal under Michigan law, but more than a dozen times this winter, groups of teachers called in sick to protest frozen wages, ballooning class sizes, decaying buildings, and other conditions they say are the result of state-imposed austerity. The largest such action on January 20th forced the temporary closure of 88 of the district's 104 schools. Photos shared by the teachers of the hazardous conditions inside their classrooms, black mold, rodents, and no heat went viral. And won't read more than that because I goofed and did not put the attribution on my little script here. So my apologies to the person who wrote that. I will try to find that. Anyway, you're welcome to call in with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Gino's on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
I got a comment and a couple questions on the minimum wage.
All right.
When I was a kid, minimum wage was $3.35 an hour, so a high school kid could actually get a job and learn some skills. Minimum wage was never designed to be a living wage, ever.
It was designed
for entry-level jobs.
It was absolutely intended to be a living wage, and that's what Franklin Roosevelt said when he introduced it for the first time.
Well, back in 83, you couldn't live off of $3.30 an hour.
Yes, you could, and I did.
I did, too, because I made minimum wage. But
and
I
it jumped from $1.60, and there were complaints across the nation, and there were claims that inflation would stomp the economy, that everything would fall apart, and all the wage payers were so bitter about it, but it improved the economy.
Can I finish speaking, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
Only 3.5% of Americans make minimum wage, number one. Okay, number two, you take the guy making
that's not even close to correct. That's a completely bogus statistic.
I disagree with you.
Well, it doesn't matter that you disagree because it's false. False statistics aren't going to fly on this show. This is called Press Watch. I have the real statistics right here. And the number to call, 503-231-8187, and Mark is on the air.
Hello there.
Hi.
Well, I have a question. It's not about minimum wage, because everybody knows that's just going to cause huge...
No, it won't.
Well, okay. But I have a question. The story in South and all that.
Uh-huh.
What if all this... stuff that they're finding when they run tests on the moss. Isn't that how they're getting these tests? From the moss.
That's how that one thing happened, yeah.
It seems to me that maybe the moss could collect things that come flying down from, like, higher up in the air, like maybe from the... It sure would be nice if all this story actually could open wide that, you know, question about what is going on with the chemtrails.
Probably came from Nazis on the moon.
Well, I'm not against that
idea. Or dragons. It could have come from dragons.
Hey, I like that thought. Well, all I know is that if it came from the chemtrails, it would be really nice to open that story out and you know, to expose that. You know, like
503-231-8187. If you want to call about Nazis on the moon or chemtrails, there are late night shows on AM. And Jim's on the air. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Thank you for your efforts and your bravery. And these are times when to speak the truth is an act of courage. The elections are a fraudulent charade. Elections have been stolen, manipulated. There's no limit to what can be done to this. And thanks to the cowardice, the moral and intellectual cowardice of the so-called, what's left of the so-called journalistic profession, people are consistently and constantly deluded into believing that all the nonsense goes along with this huge setup. And here we have a presidential candidate. We have a jerk. In the Republican Party, we have a jerk, a creep, and an empty suit vying for the presidency of the United States. And on the opposite side, of course, Hillary Clinton, nothing but a neocon in a skirt. And all of this goes on as if it's, you know, part of the general perspective of politics in the United States. And Herr Trump and his chumps are a direct analog of the rise of Adolf Hitler. The Nazi Party is analogized in the Republican Party and has been for some time. The same economic forces that bankrolled Hitler, including Bush's grandfather, and that ilk, the banks for international settlements, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All these forces are still controlling the fate of the billions on this planet. Meanwhile, people in the United States cannot face facts. They don't want to face the truth. That's entertainment, gang. But once again, may I sincerely applaud your efforts. You're a voice crying in the wilderness and into the wind. But it's consoling to have you on air. And thank you for indulging me in my expression.
Thanks for your call. Number to call, 503-231. The real facts about minimum wage, by the way, are that whereas, according to the official statistics, 3.3 million Americans work at an hourly rate at or below the federal minimum wage of $7.25. Far more, 10 times more, 20 times more, work at a wage that is very close to that. So when I say work at minimum wage, I mean within 30% of minimum wage, which is not enough to live on. And, you know, you just can't get there from here trying to, and especially since most minimum wage jobs will try to squeeze you below 40 hours a week just so they don't have to pay full-time benefits. People aren't getting by, and it's a good thing that the wage is going up. It's not a good thing that it is going up so incrementally, and, you know, personally, I feel that the population should still, you and I should still sign that petition for $15 an hour now, right now. When the wage went up to $3.35 in the 80s, it went up from $1.60. And the howling and complaining. Number call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And sounds like Sunny is on the air.
Good morning. That previous caller was very well spoken, and you really do deserve the commendation, Teresa.
Well, thank you very much.
We like your wonderful, smart mind and smart heart. The thing about don't raise the wage, because then you can always propel people into the war and another war and another war after that, or into prison. And both of those make profit somehow. And I just called to say that once more we're going to embark upon trying to establish a little bit of a community out here in Southwest Portland in a lovely area. And we have a couple of rooms available and garden space. And we need people that want to stand together for peace and unity across the classes, across the races, and to help solidify the country in the face of all the stuff that the previous caller was talking about. And we would, because I'm doing this for my 83-year-old employer and to help myself out in helping him, we need someone that can fish, likes to fish, and they will get paid for fishing, which isn't a bad job, and someone else that likes to garden. And we previously had this up as an opportunity, but we had to take it down because next door we had some pretty out-of-control drug house people that were hacking into our internet, and we weren't able to proceed with getting to interview all the nice people that we heard from via, I think, possibly your show, I mentioned it. So Sunday at 1 o'clock, Pioneer Courthouse or Pioneer Square Starbucks, I'll be out there with a star. Not a star, excuse me, I'm nervous, a heart on my sleeve or on my shirt, and people that would like to come up and talk to me about an opportunity to try to form some solid, peaceful, considerate, respectful community to promote unity across the classes and the races, fish and garden, and if they want to come down Sunday, 1 o'clock, Pioneer Starbucks, I would like to try to find a couple of people to help us out. And
well, I think you're going to get a response from that.
That
sounds pretty good.
Might be pretty
intentional
strong.
Community. I was involved in intentional community many years ago, mid-80s, actually just before I started doing this program on KAZI in Austin. Hey, thanks very much for your call.
Sure. Thank you, Teresa.
Number call 503-231-8187. The number of coastal flooding days in the U.S. has doubled since the 1980s, according to Juan Cole, writing on his own website as mirrored on truthdig.org. The Guardian, quoting a new study, observes in San Francisco, the number of human-caused flooding events is almost three times above the unaltered trend, while Charleston in South Carolina endured 219 flooding days between 2005 and 2014, with a vast majority climate change-driven. End quote. The difference is that people in San Francisco know exactly why this is happening to them, whereas on the whole, people in Charleston are burying their heads in the increasingly waterlogged sand. The finding of increased coastal flooding beyond what nature would have been responsible for, and the finding that such flooding is more and more common and destructive, is one alarming new insight. Arctic sea ice has been shrinking 3% a year since satellite observations began in 1979. And departing from what Juan Cole has written here, speaking for myself, if we have time to get to it, I also want to comment that this is the worst January and the worst February ever. And we are heading for disaster. There are various reasons. Returning to Texas, here a conjecture of El Nino and the Arctic Oscillation has brought freakishly warm air to the top of the world. The extent of sea ice will be smaller this winter than ever recorded in modern history. Some of this freakish Arctic heat wave is just weather. That is a one-off set of incidents, but as a steady 3% shrinkage demonstrates, some of it is climate, i.e. a long-term ice melt can exacerbate global warming because ice reflects sunlight back into space, but dark seawater absorbs it. These things are complicated since water vapor can increase cloud cover, which also reflects sunlight, but ice is more efficient in this regard, so we're looking at net heating. Arctic ice melting can also affect ocean currents. The big danger is a slowdown of the Atlantic tropical conveyor belt that brings warm water up north. If it is interrupted, ironically enough, climate change causing warming in most places could plunge parts of the northern end of glaciation. That is, not only are we possibly looking at the end of Miami and New Orleans, but Toronto may be in trouble, too. The last time such glaciation was caused by the interrupted current, it lasted about 1,000 years. And once again, speaking for myself, talking about the thermohaline circulation, by burning all these fossil fuels at such a massive rate, we're doing the equivalent of setting off thousands of atomic bombs in the atmosphere. We're re-engineering the only planet we have without so much as a schematic. Juan Cole writes, we deserve to know what people who want to be president think about all this and what they intend to do about it. With the exception of Bernie Sanders, they aren't volunteering to tell us. The journalists have to ask them. It is also possible, he writes, that corporate capitalism, which runs as the dodo was, contrary to its self-depiction as agile and efficient, it seems lumbering and blind. Seen a dodo lately? Cole writes, KBO open questions, 503-231-8187. And Matano is on the air. And,
hi there.
Hi, Matano. What's up?
I just have a quote for you and a comment. The truth is still the truth, even if no one believes it. And a lie is still a lie, even if everyone believes it. And I'm kind of talking about the guy that said 3% of the workforce is on minimum wage. But, yeah, I agree with you that it's kind of an erroneous statistic.
It's a distracting statistic. 4.3% is the actual figure from the government, and doesn't mean anything because everyone gets paid 10% above or 25 cent above or a dollar above, which doesn't amount to a living wage and is minimum wage based.
And during a pledge drive, I got a book called The Great Divergence, and in there this guy goes through all the basically the history, especially during the strongest period of our economy, which was the 50s, when everyone was in union, and the average beginning wage, I think, was equivalent to $30 in today's money. So $30 an hour in today's money. The largest employer was General Motors, and today the largest employer is Walmart, and most people that work there get just about minimum wage or above, so I don't know, you know, I just wanted to back you up on your handling of that call, which was very good. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you.
You bet.
Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187, and Don's on the air.
Hey, Teresa. Hey, listen, you were right about Hillary Clinton, because if you notice, all the states she's winning are states that were carried by the Republican. I think there was one exception out of the states she won so far that wasn't carried by the Republicans last time. So maybe the popular vote will push those super freak delegates over to his side, but I'm kind of with you. I don't think either one of them are going to be a really great answer for us. Hey, I want to talk a little about the Scalia murder. Is that okay?
Scalia murder?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, how do you figure he was murdered?
Well, first of all, have you ever heard of a guy named Sterling David Allen?
I have not.
Okay, well, he's on the George and Norrie show all the time, and that's, you mentioned late night calls. He has been arrested for, hundreds, maybe even thousands of incidents involving pedophilia. They seized a computer from him, and in the computer, the FBI has some files that are pointed directly to Scalia. So does it make any sense that Scalia would go there and ditch the security he had and not leave his wife at home? And
what's your source of information on that?
Huh?
What's your source of information?
Let's see. There's Veterans Today had a really great. In fact, they had one March 1st. There's a Veterans Today article talks about the murder of Scalia. Please read it, because it's incredible how they set this up. And the guy was already, he was in trouble. He was called to the White House right before he went to Texas. Did you know that?
I have read some things on Veterans Today that, frankly, I don't find credible.
Well,
so I'm just going to have to say that.
I know. Everybody's got their own political views. But in this article, he cites everything. It is really great. I think Gordon Duff wrote it. But he talks about how Scalia ditched his security, and then he went there. And then here's the part that really bothers me, not just the pillow they found putting over half of his head, but the fact that his hunting buddies got up. He said he's going to go to bed early. And his hunting buddies got up in the morning. Why didn't they knock on his door and say, hey, Tony, you want to go? Are you feeling well? You want to go hunting? Are you okay? You know, they didn't do nothing. And anybody goes hunting with people, you know, wouldn't you think they'd knock on the door and say, are you okay? You want to go? Did you change your mind?
Okay, well, that's so far off topic that I'll just have to leave it at that. Thanks for calling in. 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187 from the ICE blog on Deutsche Welle. They write, here in Germany, the winter, meaning there in Germany, the winter has seemed strange enough. We had flowers in bloom at Christmas, people sneezing with pollen, allergies. Overall, it was extremely mild. Now we're having just the odd flurry of sleet. He writes, with the magnolias getting ready to bloom and much of nature said to be 3 weeks ahead of schedule, but that is nothing compared to what's been going on in the Arctic. Headline of a piece on Slate by Eric Holthouse is, the old normal is gone. Record warmth so dramatic that Holthouse is willing to comment using unofficial data before the official data comes out in mid-March. February 2016, he says, was probably somewhere between 1.15 and 1.4 degrees Celsius warmer than the long-term average. That's 3 or 4 degrees Fahrenheit, and about 0.2 degrees above last month, which was itself a record breaker. This, Holthouse calculates, means while it took us from the start of industrialization until last October to reach the first 1 degree centigrade of warming, we've now gone up an extra 0.4 degrees in just 5 months. Paris target 1.5 degrees maximum. Here we come. In the Arctic, this is particularly dramatic. Parts of the Arctic were more than 16 degrees Celsius warmer than normal. That's like 24 degrees Fahrenheit, I think. He's talking about, or more. Just off the top of my head, there's melting ice off Svalbard, and that is on Deutsche Welle. And I believe I'm just about out of time, so I will summarize here that in December, this last December, the high Arctic experienced a heat wave. Temperatures near the North Pole going above the freezing point. January is the warmest month since the beginning of weather data. In February, parts of the Arctic were more than 10 degrees warmer than the long-term average. And this writer is saying that that is also a record breaker. So the point of me bringing all this up is we are now headed for a climate crisis right now, this year, this month, that is going to be greatly in excess of anything we have experienced as human beings. We're in the thick of it. We are in the thick of it. And we're simply going to have to think about how to deal with it, which I cannot address on this program, you know, specifically how to deal with it. There have been many suggestions, you know, what I'm hinting at. But survival is something people around the globe are going to be thinking about surviving this year. That's how bad it's going to be. That's how bad it's becoming already. And heck, it's only the first few days of March. So
that's very, very much something to pay attention to. And speaking of things to pay attention to, Parafarging is waiting to come into Studio 2 here at KBOO Portland, where we broadcast at 90.7 FM across Cascadia and other frequencies in the region. And we also broadcast at KBOO.FM, where you can click on KBOO and become a part of the community, the intentional radio community, by joining at any rate that you prefer. Join the thousands who do so at KBOO.FM, where we broadcast to all the ships at sea.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.